Today is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Scripture lessons are from Psalm 91, verses 1 through 10, Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23, and the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, verse 5, the first portion, 5a, and then verses 21 through 33. Today's message is titled, Reality of Following Jesus. Psalm 91, beginning of verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. Here is the reading from Psalm, Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been bought, who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here ends the reading from Romans, the Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 10, beginning with a portion of verse 5, then jumping down to 21. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. And now jumping down to verse 21. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the household has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of the household, of his household. So, do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden, that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of the Father. And the very hairs of your head, all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. That is a prayer of Martin Luther. Gladys Aylward, as you learned last week, Gladys Aylward, she made it to China, as I shared last Sunday, and she learned the God of Nehemiah, the God who made it possible for Nehemiah to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem in 52 days, was the living God who still does wonders in people's lives. Gladys, she made it to her destination and learns the hardships that go with that too. The hardship after hardship from the get-go, but now she's in Yangcheng. She meets Mrs. Lawson, the missionary she had written to, and said she would come and help. "Well, are you coming in?" said Mrs. Lawson, into the courtyard of a run-down, debris-filled place. "I suppose you'll be hungry," Mrs. Lawson said, and soon returns with a strange concoction. Only good manners kept Gladys from turning away in disgust, and with great effort, she struggled to eat just a half a bowl. The plan was to clean the place up and have the mule trains come in for the night, feed the muleteers, and tell them the stories of the Bible at night before they fall asleep. And the way to get the mule train to stop in your end is to stand in the street and grab the first mule of the mule train and drag it inside the inn into the courtyard. Gladys, that will be your job. Grab the hold of the first mule and the rest of the mules will follow into the courtyard. Yes, Gladys, your job is to grab a hold of the first mule. That's what Mrs. Lawson said to her. Now soon the inn with the foreign ladies was known to be clean, and the food was very good, and at night they told long stories for free. Mrs. Lawson or Mr. Liu would tell the stories, and Gladys would tend to the mules. She'd feed them, and also importantly, very importantly, scrape off the caked-on layers of mud that were on the mules. So I ask you, would you travel halfway around the world with all those problems you went through to just scrape off mud off the mules? But that's what she was doing. Within a year, Mrs. Lawson became very ill and she died. She said, to Gladys, God called you to my side, Gladys, in answer to my prayer. He wants you to carry on my work here. He will provide. He will bless you and prosper you. Mrs. Lawson, with her gone, her small stipend was gone, and soon the little they had became even less for Gladys and Mr. Liu. Soon the Mandarin came to Gladys for Gladys to help him. The new government decrees the ancient custom of binding women's feet must cease. The Mandarin must enforce this, but a man cannot inspect a woman's feet. A woman must do this. In all the district, you are the only woman with unbound feet. You will become the foot inspector. And she did. And do you know what this did? This enabled Gladys to travel all through the area under the authority of the Mandarin, protected by guards. She inspected the feet, and she also would tell Bible stories in all the villages she went to. And she was paid to do it, too. I mean, Gladys, she would eventually come to be given the name Awida. Awida, it means virtuous woman. God had made the way for Gladys now to enter every village, every house, every place with authority to banish that cruel custom and have protection and be paid to do so. And while expecting the feet, she preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this led to her taking in little girls and then more orphans, which led to more challenges of feeding and caring for them. Then World War II started, and the invasion of Japan into China. I had to get the children out. No way out except by the mule train roads through the mountains. Hungry, starving, tired, begging from village to village. And those villages had little to offer. Sleeping out in the open, all these little children, from little toddlers up to teenagers. Many other problems. You had to carry the little ones up and through the mountains and down the mountains. And over this, 3 weeks passed by. Finally, they reach the Yellow River and they cross over into free China. And Gladys was worn out. I mean, Awida, the doctors there, she should have been long dead as they looked at Awida. They thought she was Chinese from all she had gone through and the way she spoke. The doctors said she had fever, typhus, pneumonia, malnutrition, utter exhaustion, and then all those other minor problems too. She should have been dead. She was ill over a month. She did no talking, just lying there in the hospital, mostly unaware it was happening. And as we began our worship this morning, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Now, not everyone sent across the waters or overland by railroad, but we're all given the same task, to love and freely share Jesus Christ. As his disciples in Matthew are told about in chapter 10 of Matthew, Jesus said to his disciples, freely you have received, freely give. We are providing day camp this week to the children and their families with this, freely you have received, freely give. We are giving freely. And in this, we are trusting the Lord God to provide and do wonders in Jesus' name. As Gladys told the Bible stories in China, and many came to know Jesus and love Jesus, we are telling the Bible stories to change the heart and lives of the children and their families. In our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 10, we heard Jesus speak of the many challenges and difficulties that would come in following him and doing as he instructed. For example, Matthew chapter 10, beginning of verse 22. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Now, how is this for a slogan? Come, believe in Jesus, follow Jesus, and men will hate you. Share the love of Jesus Christ, and you will be persecuted in one place, and go to another place, and by the way, you'll probably be persecuted there too. Love and share the love of Jesus. And go. I mean, look at Stephen, the first to be martyred, stoned to death. Unimaginable cruelty to see that happen and be there. And Saul of Tarsus was right there giving his approval. James, the brother of John, was put to death by Herod with the sword. Matthew was martyred in Ethiopia. John, the disciple, Apostle John, that's the brother of James, was put in a basin of boiling oil and miraculously lived. And so they exiled him to the mines of Patmos, where he died of old age in peace after he wrote Revelation. John was the only apostle to die peacefully of old age. James, the half-brother of Jesus, James that became the leader there in Jerusalem, the writer of the book of James, he was thrown off the southeast pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. Over 100 feet, he was thrown down. He survived the fall. So they clubbed him to death. Nathanael flayed to death by a whip in Asia, which is present-day Turkey. Andrew crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece after a severe whipping. And from that cross, for several days, Andrew continued to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? On the cross, suffering greatly and still proclaiming Jesus Christ. Thomas speared in India. Matthias, you know Matthias replaced Judas Iscariot. Matthias was stoned and beheaded. Paul, the apostle, you know, Saul of Tarsus became Paul. Paul was tortured and beheaded in Rome by Nero. And more is written about the other apostles, but the historicity of those stories are not quite as certain as the ones shared here. But what's of importance here in all these instances, the apostles were willing to die for the faith. They were proclaiming Jesus Christ, the mercy and grace freely offered with the forgiveness of sin through the crucified and risen. Yes, risen, resurrected Jesus Christ. In the face of such cruelty and horrible brutality, refusing to renounce the faith. It's the evidence that they truly did see Jesus, the risen, the resurrected Christ, bodily, physically, it really was Him resurrected. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, beginning of verse 28, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." And we saw that in the apostles' lives. "Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So don't be afraid." Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. This begins with a conjunction. And what that conjunction means for you to do is connect the dots. Connect the dots. All that is written before, put it together, connect the dots. God knows the fate of sparrows. God governs the sparrows with His will. Along with that, God numbers the hairs of your head, the care, the exactness of care, and the individual attention. The individual attention of you as the individual, the attention of God for you as an individual, and each person across all the earth. Even the most minuscule facet of your physicalness is under the Lord's attention and care. Therefore, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of what men can do. And at the same time, and of far greater importance, don't be afraid, for the sovereignty and providence of God is very real. This sovereignty and providence of God reaches down to the sparrows, reaches down and counts the number of hairs on your head. How much more? How much more will the Lord God regard you as His child, His beloved child in His care? God takes care of and feeds the sparrows, and you, the Lord God, will take care of you and see you through even those things of suffering for Christ that Christ Jesus speaks of here in Matthew 10. They will come, and God will take care of you through them. Do not be afraid. When you stand for Christ and proclaim the truth and reality of sin that the law of the Lord God declares in the sacred scriptures, this behavior is wrong. This, what you're doing, is evil. This behavior is detestable in the eyes of God. When you shine the light into the darkness in that manner, you will be hated. Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, starting at verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done, has been done through God. When you shine light on evil, they will hate you. But you are doing the will of God and speaking the truth. And you're shining the light because you're speaking of what God has done. A college professor has been teaching human biology for 20 years at a community college. He was fired for religious preaching and discriminatory comments. Surprised and shocked by his dismissal, for he had been teaching the same reality of the human reproductive system for 2 decades. There is male, there is female, that sex is determined by the chromosomes X and Y. That's a biological fact. Teaching that for 20 years, but this past year, past January or so, he was fired. In 2002, last year, a Woman Housing Association employee was fired after people complained of her hate speech. It was not hate speech. You see, she was running for mayor of the suburb she was living in, and she expressed her Christian faith, writing in her election manifesto outlining her political position on various subjects. And marriage, this is what she wrote, marriage. I pledge to cut through political correctness and simply state the truth that natural marriage between a man and a woman is the fundamental building block for a successful society and the safest environment for raising children. As a result, she was hounded on social media for her Christian faith, doxed at her employer with complaints and hate speech. If you haven't heard the term dox means to have your private information made public on the internet for the purpose of malicious intent. She was doxed, and the complaints then fled into her employer. These complaints, anonymous complaints to her employer, branding her beliefs as hate speech, illegal, and called for her to be disciplined and to take part in anti-oppressive training. She was fired. Now through litigation, she has won a substantial judgment. She says this, I am pleased that L&Q has paid out such a substantial sum following the sacking. I know God brought me through this situation, and I cannot emphasize more the importance of Christians taking a stand when being discriminated against. And then she warned, it is disturbing how Christian beliefs on marriage, which have been held and expressed for thousands of years, are being silenced and treated with such hostility and disdain in this country. More and more, holding to traditional views, the views that once were commonplace and the ethos of our culture are now declared hate speech and illegal. Holding to the beliefs that the Bible teaches concerning male and female, along with marriage and children, right and wrong, good and evil, and about the life and about life itself, they're at odds. And the hurricane winds of woke culture, intent of ripping off of the face of God's earth what God has revealed. Yes, the hurricane winds of woke culture, their intent of wiping this off the face of earth, of God's revealed will concerning these things. So the reality of following Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord, is we will be faced with greater hostilities. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. At a recent wedding, I experienced this. A wedding guest came up to me afterwards, commenting on if the woke culture had heard the wedding service, they would protest of the way and the manner that I spoke of husband and wife and male and female throughout the ceremony. And then this very same person asked me if I would perform a same-sex ceremony. I answered, no. It is against God's design and order of creation of male and female. But this short conversation illustrates the time we live in. How timely are these words that the Lord had Paul write in Romans chapter 6. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Imagine yourself as that lighthouse, shining the light of Christ into the world, and look at the size of that storm wave crashing against that lighthouse. Stand firm. Do not be afraid, for you are under grace. This is not license to do as you please, but under a very powerful gift of new life in Christ. Romans chapter 6, beginning of verse 21. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things, they result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap is holiness. And the result is eternal life, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The reality of following Jesus, it's like a tug of war. You want to be loved and honored by people, accepted by people, hang out with them, have friends. And yet at the same time, you desire to serve the Lord God and His righteousness. There was a time when this was the common Christian ethos through the culture. This common Christian ethos was the culture. Most of you grew up in it. And so through the culture, you were generally pulled in the same direction as living this right way for Christ was easier because the culture pretty much was doing the same. Now the Christian ethos of the culture has been severely eroded. And in places, it's gone. So pulling you now in the opposite direction. As a result, following Christ, the reality of following Jesus is more challenging. Ask the seventh grade boy suspended for wearing the t-shirt that says, "There are only two genders." He wore it to school. The middle school administration embraces and supports only those students who agree with them. And the school administration is picking and choosing allowable messages on cultural issues. I could tell the same stories of Christian hockey players, soccer players, baseball players, and on over this very issue, where they stand for Christian marriage and Christian faith, male and female. That's all there is. This is the reality of following Jesus these days. What to do? What to do? Trust and be not afraid. Trust the Lord God who knows the sparrow and the hairs on your head. Trust the Lord God who parted the waters, who led Nehemiah to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, who took Gladys Aylward to China and sustained Awida there, even after Mrs. Lawson's death and the Japanese invasion, as she brought those children over the mountains, miles and miles and miles, 21 plus days traveling through the mountains. Trust that God. You may say, I'm not as important as they in doing God's thing. I'm not one of those people that's doing God's work. I'm not as important one of them as they are to. Don't say that. You are just as important, and you worship the very same God who worked and lived in their lives. And that same God is working and living in your life. You believe in Jesus Christ. You believe Jesus is the crucified and risen Lord, just as Awida did. And all the others that gone before you in the faith, right? You believe those things. You know the Father. You have the Holy Spirit. So live the faith, trusting and following Jesus. Take one step, just one step, one day at a time, and the Lord God will guide you. His promises are true. He will never forsake you. That is the real reality of following Jesus. He will never forsake you. For you are the beloved child, bought by a redeeming price, the blood of Jesus on the cross. Christ crucified and risen for you. He won't forsake you. So do not be afraid. The reality of following Jesus is you can trust God. He'll get you through the mountains. He'll provide moment by moment. Suffering and hardship, yes, but He will see you through it. Just as He done in previous generations and ages, He will do in your life too. Trust Him and live to the fullness of joy and grace, the reality of following Jesus. Amen. Amen.